Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not ideological bent, not based on political ploys and directions, not based on denominational dogma, but simply based on the authority of the Word of God. May I remind us that Jesus himself said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus made a statement, John 14:6 says, "I am truth." And then he goes further to say, John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So it's the truth of the Word of God that I commend to you. It is truth today that is under attack at every level. I don't know that in my lifetime I have ever seen the scenario where we have more untruth and more bias toward the truth and more antagonism toward the truth than we're finding in society today. It was the secularist George Orwell that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're finding that to be so relevant today in the society in which we're living. And the closer we get, ladies and gentlemen, to the day of election on November the 3rd, the more we're going to find of these untruths, or if you want to be very blunt, lies, that are being disseminated by the left and by the media and by those that want to destroy our election system. It is truth that we need to depend on. It was the 15th century church reformer and theologian Jan Hus that said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And that is what I commend to each of you as our listeners today, is we seek the truth, live the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you on Let's Face the Issues each and every day, you have the opportunity to call in, join in the dialogue and the discussion, and ask your questions. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're out of the area code, it's 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions on landscape equipment for the homeowner and the professional, as well as for the operation of and the ownership of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. They can answer all of your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. And specifically, it's located at I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic U.S. flag is flying. Flagpole of about 165 feet there with a gigantic Old Glory United States flag flowing 24/7. Find the flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. And at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about the election war plan. The election war plan. Yes, whether you realize it or not, we're in a full-scale frontal assault, and that assault is on our constitutional republic and the freedom that we have as citizens to vote. There's a major push today, whether you have realized it or not, And if you read between the lines with some of the fake, false, phony Communist Network news and what's being said out there, you realize that there are a lot of folks on the left, that is with the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist Party, that's wanting to destroy our election. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got 48 days. 48 days. 48 days until November the 3rd election. But will we know, ladies and gentlemen, on the day of the election, and I usually on our national election, presidential election, even with our statewide elections, I'll sit up until midnight if it's necessary to see who the winner would be. I'll watch sometimes on some occasions 2-3 o'clock in the morning until the final count comes in for us to ascertain who we have elected as the key leaders in our nation. But the question that I'm asking today, will we know who won the presidential election on November the 3rd? If not, why not? And what possibly, ladies and gentlemen, could take place that would prevent American voters from knowing who we've elected as president? Yes, it is the highest possible and probability that I've seen in my lifetime that on November the 3rd, there will be chaos, confusion, and a challenge as to who the real winner of the presidential election could be. I don't know of any greater probability that I could bring up in the possibility than simply those words that are being stated in the rhetoric that's going forth from the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist Democrats on the left as what they're saying in relationship to what's going to take place. In fact, I've looked at article after article after article, and one article says the Democratic data from firm predicts that chaos and confusion on election night will be the end result. We find, ladies and gentlemen, one statement that goes forth in relationship to that, that the presidential election is going to have major chaos. Another one says the Democrats outline a strategy to take the presidential race even after Election Day. End quote. And I could go on and on and on with some 40, 50 articles that I've stacked in relationship to some of the pundits and what they're saying will take place and how we need to respond as citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, whether we know it or not, it could be, whether we realize it or not, that is, it could be days, weeks, or perhaps a month or two after the election before we really know who we have elected as president. This is the reason I'm calling it election war plans. Election war plans, because we're watching the war plans put in place. In fact, I believe we're going at warp speed, if I can say that, from the left side, left perspective, as to trying to undermine our election process. Of course, the Democrats are setting the stage for an election delay. They're doing so by saying it's going to be Trump's plan to steal the election. I don't know of anything any more heretical than this, but let me just read you a blurb of it. And after we've done this, and brief further introduction and monologue, we're going to introduce our special guest today. We're going to talk about the new book that he's written. It's called The Election Heist, and it fits into the category of what we're talking about today so clearly. Title of this article, How Democrats Plan to Steal the 2020 Election. But ladies and gentlemen, the whole article is about how the Democrats are claiming that Trump and the Republicans are stealing the election. In fact, listen to a statement from Joe Biden. It's my greatest concern, my single greatest concern, this president is going to try to steal this election, end quote. And the article further says, but Biden is not alone. Democrats and their media allies suddenly warning with great excitement that the Republicans are going to lie, cheat, steal, and collude with foreign powers to win the November election. They're all saying it, this article says. So just how will Trump steal the election? Headlines at Washington Monthly Story says, if voter suppression and foreign influence don't work, he will simply contest the results. Speaking of the president, the Atlantic, how Donald Trump could steal the election, contends the president can't simply cancel the fall balloting, but his state-level allies could steal delivery still deliver him a second term, the article says. Then there's The Guardian. We're talking about different newspapers. Says it is all rigged. Trump foreshadows how he could undermine presidential election. And The Salon with here's how Trump will steal the 2020 election, alleging the Republican Party has refined its strategy of voter suppression, voter intimidation, voter theft in the election across the country. But the grand prize goes to the Daily Beast for their headline. This is how Republicans steal an election and maybe even kill some Democrats in the process. End quote. This article finally says, as usual with the left, it's all shameless, straight-up projection, accusing conservatives of the precise sins and crimes that they themselves are committing. Remember, it was the Democrats who bitterly complained in the 2016 Trump election that, and they would not accept the election results. And then, when they lost, spent the next 4 years hysterically and illegally attempting to overturn the election, ripping the country apart in the process. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we might ask the question, what are the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist Democrats doing? Well, they're in full war mode. They're deploying their complete arsenal of election warfare, as I'm calling it. Let me just give you a little litany of those things. And during the course of this broadcast, we're going to talk about them with our special guest today. In just a moment, we'll introduce to you Ken Timmerman. Ken has been with us on the air before, does a superb job in his research and his background in relationship to what we're going to be faced with and what we should expect and do. But some of the things that's taking place in the complete arsenal of the election warfare for the Democrats today is voter fraud, including every kind, blaming voter suppression on the president, big tech censorship of conservative communications, fake media with the real hype that somehow, some way, that the Trump administration is trying to manipulate the public, Democrats blaming Trump for racism, challenging voter ID as being a way to repress the votes. These are the ploys. These are the tools in the arsenal of the Democratic warfare against this election, ladies and gentlemen. Some states wanting to lower the voting age now to 16 years of age. Yes, that's happening in America. Democrats allowing criminals, including mass murderers, to vote. They have released thousands and thousands from prisons. The mail-in voting is one of the major things we'll talk about today that's very dangerous. Ballot harvesting, including what's called granny votes. The Democrats will blame Trump's election if he's reelected. They'll blame that on none other than Russia. It's got to be Russia, Russia, Russia that's causing it. Here's an article that says Dems election cheat master admits fraud is more the rule than the exception. A new report from the New York Post reveals that an expert on fraud in mail-in ballots says it's no myth because he's been doing it on a grand scale for years and years and years because he's been doing it. This man that's writing the article states that he's been working for the Democratic Party for years doing the mail-in ballot fraud. The report reveals that the top Democratic operative, whose name was not included in the report, talked about the problem of voter fraud, especially with mail-in ballots, and how he's been successful in doing it for years. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an admission, but of course there's no name called there, so we don't know who that person or personality happens to be. But there's a major problem with that in America, and we're going to discuss that. We're going to open Pandora's box and talk about it in just a moment. Ballot counting to resume in tight Massachusetts primary with heavy mail-in voting. I reckon I have 50 or 60 articles that talks about the irony and the problems that's taking place as a result of mail-in ballot and ballot harvesting that is going to be part and parcel of the November the 3rd election process. Ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats are all set, geared up, wound up, ready to steal the 2020 presidential election. So just what will the strategy be? We are delighted today, ladies and gentlemen, to have with us a man that I believe needs to be introduced to us, and you need to understand his background and his credentials. We've got a special guest that's been with us before on Let's Face the Issues. It is Ken Timmer. Ken is the author of The Election Heist, a brand new book that he's published, and we're going to talk about his book in just a moment. Ken will answer some of the most important questions about the various possibilities for the presidential election. Let me just give you a little background for Ken before I introduce him to you, our listeners today. Ken is a nationally recognized investigative reporter and war correspondent who was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2006 for his work that it was done in the to expose Iran's nuclear weapon program. Since 1995, he's run the program with the, and regular meets with the Iranian dissenters overseas. He's lectured on Iran in the Pentagon as Joint Counterintelligence Training Academy, 2010 through 2016. From 2004 to 2011, Ken was the lead outside investigator for the consortium of law firms representing families of 9/11 victims. In 2012, he was the Republican nominee for Congress in Maryland's 8th District. Ken is also a witness to the persecuted church. 2018, his novel ISIS Begins, which is a novel about the Iraq War, is based on recent trips to Mosul and Amman and Jordan. For the past 30 years, Ken has covered both sides of the Arab-Israeli conflict, interviewing radical imams and would-be suicide bombers in Gaza, while reporting on the plight of Israeli citizens during Hezbollah missile attacks in 2006. As a young reporter in 1982, he was taken hostage by the Palestinian guerrilla fighters in West Beirut, where he was born again, got saved. One of the best things I think could have happened in Ken's life is that he got saved during that process. And that's a refreshing thought for me. During 2016 election campaign, he served on the National Security and Foreign Policy Advisor Board for President Donald Trump. He's an active public speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, he had the National Security and Foreign Policy Advisory Board for President Trump. He's a Republican nominee for Congress, as I mentioned earlier, on District 8 in 2012 in Maryland. He is president, CEO, and founder of Democracy in Iran. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you our very special guest, Ken Timmerman. Ken, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. And let's do a little, as I would simply put it, if I were sitting down with a group of folks, do a little jawboning and talking about the election process and what is before us, what to expect. Thank you for coming on the air with us today and taking these moments to let's talk about it for the benefit of our listeners today.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for having me on. And I've got to tell you, I'm sitting right here outside the Hyatt Regency Hotel in downtown Jacksonville, where Lara Trump was speaking this morning, along with Katrina Pearson and Pam Bondi, to a rally of women for Trump. And the ballroom on the second floor of the hotel was absolutely jam-packed with a little social distancing, but Florida Women for Trump. And let me just launch right into it. Here's what Lara Trump's message was this morning. We have to defeat the Democrats' plan to steal the election, to commit the election heist that I write about in my book. We have to deliver President Trump such an overwhelming victory on election night that by 10 o'clock, everybody can pack up and go home. Now, is that going to happen? Only the Lord knows at this point. But that's what we have to endeavor to do as supporters of freedom in this country and supporters of President Trump. And the rest of it is in God's hands.
We need to pray. And you have heard me talk about it before, and I'm sure our listeners have heard this, but in Exodus, the 18th chapter, the 21st verse, I call it God's election guide. It says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all of the men able men, such as fear God, men of faith, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over the fifties, and rulers over tens." It is the plan that God's given us in his word of the qualified men that we should elect and put in positions of leadership. Ken, before we get further into the nuts and bolts, as I would call it, of the issues that are so needful for us to talk about today, I believe it would be beneficial for our listeners to let you give a little brief overview of your book, The Election Heist. What is the book about? Is it relevant today? Is it something that should be of interest to our listening public? And why did you write the book, and what's the thesis of the book?
Well, I appreciate you giving me this opportunity, Pastor. The election heist is a fiction. It's an entertainment, I call it, because it's supposed to be entertaining. But it's it is to help you to imagine what could happen in November. And by imagining what could happen, an election being stolen by the Democrats, to help you to prepare for it today and to act accordingly to prevent it from happening. So I wrote this book as a warning of what the Democrats, I believe, are planning to do. I had finished the book. It was sent off to the publishers by February. There's several scenes that you'll see in the book, both before the election and right after the election, of Antifa. Antifa mobs going down Fifth Avenue, smashing shop windows. Where? Right at Trump Tower. Well, this happened at the end of May. It actually happened 3 months after I sent the book off to the publisher, and it was completely finished. I believe that the Democrats will use Antifa. They're going to use Black Lives Matter. They're going to use every possible mob group, mob action, to prevent the swing states with Florida, North Carolina, Arizona, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, to prevent ballots from being counted in those swing states because they know they cannot win. And so in the book, the scenario involves a kind of election fraud that we're not talking about today. I talk about all the other things. I talk about mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting and all of that and all what I call the traditional voter fraud techniques. But the plot of the book revolves around a national the Democrat candidate for president and her campaign hacking the election machinery. In other words, the computers that we use, the tabulators that are used in many states and in all those swing states to tabulate the printed ballots. This is the part of election machinery that most people think is the most secure. Well, I reveal in the election heist that it's not as secure as you think it is. These machines can be hacked. They're not going to be hacked by Russia. They're not going to be hacked by China, because you need to be fully plugged into American culture, American society. The Russians and the Chinese do not have a granular understanding of how our elections work. We have 10,000 election systems in America for 10,000 counties. The Russians and the Chinese aren't that sophisticated. But the Democrat Party definitely is that sophisticated. They are targeting not just down to the county level, but down to the precinct, down to the block level. And we know this. I mean, this is what they do. This is if you're an election professional, that is what you do. But in my book, they're also targeting those areas to steal the election, to commit the election heist. And that's what I want to wake everybody up to, so we can defend against this, so we can prevent this in November.
Absolutely. And I think it is vital. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're interviewing today Ken Timmerman. Ken has just released a book, The Election Heist, and we want to talk about that and how it fits into the reality of what is foreseeable to take place on the November the 3rd election. Ken, there's a lot of hype by the Democrats and the left that's saying that Russia is trying to influence the election for Trump to win, and that China is trying to influence the election so that Trump can win, and that even Iran is trying to influence the election so that Trump can win. Are those things logically sound? What's wrong with that statement?
Well, there are lots of things wrong with that, bastard. First of all, is that the Russians, who might actually want Trump to win, just possibly, although you wonder why. I think the Russians more want chaos. And they have traditionally always wanted chaos. They want Americans to lose faith in their political system. And I think that's what the little that they did in 2016, $100,000 worth of Facebook ads after the election, by the way, that little that they did was aimed at creating chaos and pitting Americans against each other, pitting groups of Americans against other groups of Americans. That's the way that they think. But they don't have the capability of actually interfering with the elections in a way that would sway them for Trump. The Chinese, I think, actually, they would like, and they have said openly, the Chinese have said openly they want Biden to win because they think that Biden would be much easier for them to deal with. Donald Trump is pushed back against communist China and the Communist Party of China. He has openly called the pandemic that we faced with coronavirus the Chinese virus. Reporters have questioned him about this. He says, of course, where does it come from? China. So it is the Chinese virus. Duh. As for the Iranians are a very interesting case. And of course, as you mentioned in your introduction, I've spent an awful lot of time dealing with Iranian defectors, dealing with people inside the power establishment who are providing information to the West, who are working with the pro-freedom movement. And so I know the regime pretty well. I know the way that they think. They have a very sophisticated cyber army, they call it. They call it the cyber army. And they are absolutely trying to infiltrate the United States, to penetrate our elections. They have groups active in the United States. They have lobbying groups active in the United States. You'd think that would be illegal, but so far the federal government has not cracked down on them. We know who they are. I can name one of them, the National Iranian American Council, NIAC. They are a self-avowed pro-Tehran lobby. They always espouse the positions of the government in Tehran, Iran. They were involved in negotiating the nuclear deal. Their head at that time was walking down the corridors of Lausanne with the Iranian negotiators as part of their team. You know, they have pictures that he posted of that. So we know the Iranians are engaged. What we don't know, at least I don't know, I hope people in government know, but what I can't tell you for sure is exactly how the Iranians will use their cyber capabilities, which are very real, to influence the elections or alter the results. I don't know that at this time.
But we do know there are players in the game. I believe we have a call on the line. Go over the question and comment, please. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, my question is for Ken, and I want to change the subject for a second here. Ken, I've been listening to you and Jimmy DeYoung show for about 1,000 years, and I heard you say something this last week that I've never heard you say before. And you said something about when are the Muslims or the Arabs going to retaliate for the peace Trump movement. Do you remember talking about that?
Yes, and I said, and they have not done so. But the Hamas, the Palestinian, the pro-Iranian movements are threatening to retaliate for that. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, because you're not dogmatic about things like that. I was a little surprised and taken back that you were dogmatic about that.
Well, I try not to be dogmatic. I try to look at the facts, and I really appreciate you listening into Jimmy DeYoung's show. I do it every week, as you say, for a gazillion years. But this is in response to this absolutely historic peace deal that President Trump has negotiated. Trump has bested all of the experts. All of the experts said it could never be done. They said, oh, yes, you have to give the Palestinians a state first, and there will never be peace without a Palestinian state. And lo and behold, what do we have? A peace agreement and the Abraham Accords. I mean, this is right out of a novel, right? I mean, I could have written the novel, the Abraham Accords, between the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, two of these Gulf monarchies, and the state of Israel with the United States. It's absolutely extraordinary. So, yes, you do have there is a peace movement inside the Arab world, and then there is a war movement. And remember, Islam itself divides the world into the Dar al-Harb and the Dar al-Salam, the Dar al-Islam. So it's the world of Islam, the world of peace, and the world of war. And now you have Arab countries who, from this point of view, from the traditional Muslim, the fundamentalist point of view, who are in the world of war with us. So, they will definitely face, I believe, violence from the Islamic fundamentalists, from Hamas, from the Muslim Brotherhood, from all of these groups that go back to the original text of Islam and the statements and the life of Muhammad, who preached eradicating anyone who would not accept Islam violently.
Absolutely.
If need be.
Absolutely. We've got about 30 seconds before our top of the hour news break. But our caller, thank you so much for your call and for your insight. Keep on listening to Ken. I'm thankful for his voice and for what he stands for and what he is saying. Looking forward to a continued broadcast today as we continue to talk about the election heist, as we can use the title of Ken's book. I have simply called it The Election War Plan. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. Have a one-minute news break. We'll be right back with you as we continue to Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.